AM 950, the progressive voice of Minnesota. It is the Matt McNeil Show. One of my favorite guests we have on every a few times every year, especially around the holidays, is Terry Johnzilla. He is a master chef, of course, an excellent baker. His wedding cakes, his cake business is exceptional. Of course, he makes the pies for my Thanksgiving meal, and they're fantastic. And also, by the way, your caramel rolls, man, holy God, are those good! And he's going to be starting his own coffee shop. We'll start off with that, actually. That's going to be coming up here. Terry Johnzilla, our food guy extraordinaire, kind enough to join us today to talk about holidays and eating. Hi, Terry.
Well, hello.
I was just a few weeks ago, I went down and caught Fiddler at the Ordway down in Rice Park. I was right by where your new coffee shop's going to be opening up. I think you're doing a soft opening coming up here in the Winter Carnival area. Down by Rice Park. Where is that going to be at?
It's in the Osborne 370 building. It's actually the old Ecolab headquarters. New owners bought the building, and they've turned it into this great entrepreneurial center. And almost everyone in the building, even the bank that's located in the lobby, are all focused on small business, entrepreneurial spirit. And that's why they invited me to come on. And I'm very excited because, again, we're all of a similar mindset. And they wanted a draw. They wanted an amenity for their clients and the people around in the neighborhood. And I was so excited that they thought of me.
Well, and it's so perfect. Your food, you and I have talked about your food. I have tasted your food numerous times. It is magnificent. It will be lovely to have a regular Monday through Friday showcase for your cooking.
And then we're going to start off with, like, heavy pastries. We'll do quiche and, like, ham and cheese croissants. Mm. We're even working on a croissant dough-wrapped hot dog.
Damn!
Which I'm excited for. And then we'll launch the full, more of a lunch program in March. And then we'll launch the box lunch program in April. Because we want to do it incrementally, but we want to really knock it out of the ballpark at every level. So when we get to that next level of service, we're super prepared.
I got to ask you, of course, obviously coffee shop. How much do you know about coffee? Are you kind of going through educating yourself more on coffee as you're getting ready for this?
Actually, I'm working with a roaster, and the funny thing is that I like a good cappuccino, but I don't make them and I don't go out for them. I mean, I'll just have a diet soda. But the thing is, I like coffee in things, and that's where the appreciation comes in. Would I have a cup of coffee in the morning? I'm not a coffee guy. Would I have a cappuccino? Oh, yeah. But the whole thing is adding those flavors, like, to a chocolate tart or coffee in a rib recipe. I love coffee as an ingredient in things. So my love of the ingredient is what made me think, oh, great. If I didn't care for coffee in any way, it wouldn't be a good fit. But I do love it as a component. Mm-hmm. And I think that's how we'll kind of carry that through into some of the pastries and food that we're going to be serving.
Well, and then, of course, if you do get a cup of coffee to go with it, it just that's where the magic happens. When you have the coffee in the baking and then the cup of coffee to go with it, because then it becomes an adventure. It's not just something to eat with a cup of coffee. It's actually simpatico. It's a union. It's fantastic.
And then we're going to be doing, of course, coffee, tea, cocoa, and then coffee, cappuccino, espresso, latte, those drinks. And then we'll have some syrups, but I don't want to do what I call, like, the Karen coffees, you know, the 2,000-calorie frappy-wappy. Maybe down the road, but right now I just want to focus on good, solid coffee and cappuccino products.
Karen coffee has now entered my vernacular. I am not giving that up. If I wanted a melted sundae, I'd go get Dairy Queen and leave it in my car.
So let's
soft opening. You're going to begin this around the Winter Carnival?
Winter Carnival, and then our grand opening is Monday, February 7th. So we'll be open Monday through Friday from 7 to 5. I think that really suits the building,
okay.
And it suits the neighborhood, because since we're in an office building, we're in the lobby. But again, it's we'll see what happens on weekends, but I do think for that neighborhood, Monday through Friday is really going to be our core business.
Yeah, exactly. And it's not that there's not fun things to do. Like I said, I went over to the Ordway, caught Fiddler. They got the XL Energy Center and the Wild playing over there. But those are, for you, it's going to be a Monday through Friday business. It's in the old Ecolab building. What's the new name of that building now?
Osborne 370.
All right. And so we'll definitely make sure we talk about that as well, especially as we get towards Winter Carnival. But let's since we're in the holiday season here, you and I talked a few weeks back about Thanksgiving, of course. Great ideas, as always, here. What is your favorite main course holiday meal over the Christmas season?
Well, the thing is, I cook it all the time for my catering business. I really love a whole roasted filet mignon. Because what I do is I heavy salt and pepper. I put a large rim baking sheet lined with foil in an oven, and I preheat the oven to about 500 to 550 degrees. And then I liberally salt the whole filet, and I trim it so I get all the hard fat cap off, all the gristle, and then just so lightly oiled with salt, pepper, some Italian seasoning, and then I have that tray heated. I put it in that hot oven, and then I dot it with butter, and then you roast it, and then I like to roast it till probably it's about 125, and then I pull it out in the middle, because that means the ends will be more well done for your guests that want that, and the center will be rare for your guests that want that.
You can't go wrong with what you just described. One problem I have is, can you cook the fat separately? Because I like to make Yorkshire pudding, which you need some of the drippings off of. I do a prime rib roast.
That's more of a prime rib issue.
Yeah.
Prime rib, a ribeye has the fat. A whole roasted filet has no fat.
Yes. All righty. So,
if you're going to do it, so I would never trim off the fat on a prime rib or a whole roasted ribeye, because the fat is the whole purpose of it.
Well, I'm not going to lie to you. you're speaking honest truth over there. And I always like making the Yorkshire pudding with the drippings. I mean, if you don't want to do that, is it popovers then is the option if you don't have the drippings?
Yeah, popovers are always a winner.
All right. The holidays, one of the things I don't like about the holidays is and it kind of goes back to your Karen Coffee comment, is that it's too over the top sometimes. It is way too sugary, way too pepperminty, you know, and way too, you know, kind of that cheap chocolatey kind of thing. You know, I like a good, I mean, my wife has a great old-fashioned, we're talking old-fashioned sugar cookie recipe, which is just fantastic. I think that sometimes modern American holiday cooking and food is just way too over the top.
Well, I think the issue with that is when I look at recipes, and I have 3,000 cookbooks, and I actually just got two more today. I hope my assistant's not listening, because he'll just kill me that I got two more books. The thing is that when you find with American recipes, and I find, and this isn't bad about it, like the Pinterest-style recipes, for the average home baker, the level of sugar is almost oppressive, and they'll use recipes that have margarine rather than butter, which is actually has another layer of that ping to it, that kind of that how do I say it? And I don't want to belittle it, but it becomes very pedestrian.
It's a different chemical. I mean, baking is chemistry. It's a different chemical makeup, and I mean, it does margarine taste very different than butter.
Now I find here's the deal though. I've actually used vegan butter or like plant based butter for some of my clients who cannot have cow's milk. And I found if used properly, it's great. But the whole thing is it's all about the quality.
Mm-hmm.
So, and the plant-based butter is not cheap. But, boy, does it work. The margarines, the problem is that you're basically using hydrogenated oil. Now, a lot of people don't know this about the margarines. They think, I don't want to do dairy. Well, there's whey in most margarines.
Mm-hmm. And as you say, it's a lot of whipped oil, too.
It's a lot of whipped oil. But also with the sugar, here's another thing is, though, too. And I was baking for another baker, doing some doughs for them, and they had brought me beet sugar. Now, I will tell you, and this is your listeners need to know this, use cane sugar, because when we opened up that canister, it smelled like beets. Mm. And the problem is, yes, it's a little cheaper, but what happens is that if you can smell it, you'll be able to taste it. And that's what kind of gets that, you know, those grocery store sugar cookies that you see everywhere that you know some companies making them and selling them to all the grocery stores?
Yeah.
That's what I'm talking about. That's sweet. And it's an odd sweetness. And that comes from the beet sugar rather than cane sugar.
Mm-hmm. And you've mentioned cheap. And I think that that's a key mistake that sometimes gets made. it's not something, I mean, if you're going to bake, you want to bake stuff that's nice. You generally don't want to go with the cheapest option for the ingredients because that has a tendency of biting you in the caboose.
It really does. And the whole thing is, I always say, people go, well, we're on a budget or things have been tough. Well, then, I mean, go with less of it. And I think that's where you can really have a great meal. Yes, a prime rib is horribly expensive. And most people, it's kind of out of the range because a prime rib can cost a couple hundred dollars. Mm-hmm. But what you could do is get a few couple beautiful ribeye steaks, slice them and fan them, and have everyone have a little bit of something spectacular.
Yes, and you can. So it's kind of one of those things where we're not trying to discourage you from doing the cooking, but at the same time, as you said, you know, beet sugar, margarine. I mean, they're cheaper, but generally the issue you get is a flavor quality issue. I have found we inherited a few church cookbooks that are ancient. I'm guessing not ancient, like 1940s, maybe 1950s. And yeah, there's some atrocious recipes in there. But at the same time, when it comes to the baking, it's, as you say, butter, flour, traditional cane sugar, and the products you get out of there, because they were making things, they didn't have the variety. To a point, it was just, they had the base products, and you get, I think, a better quality of bake off of some of those old-fashioned church cookbooks.
Well, and my very first cookbook was called The Complete Pie Cookbook. I got it. It was published in 66. So it was before I think it was even born. But I bought it, and I think I got it when I was 12. It's in tatters. I have a new copy of it on my bookshelf, but I still use that old book because it all works. And yes, some of the recipes, like there's this odd gelatinous fish pie recipe that I will never make. But there is something about that old school, and they work because, you know, it works.
It does. It just does. And I have tried to make cookies, and I've got some very good cookbooks. I'm a big fan of the King Arthur Flour Cookbook. That's a very good cookbook.
Yeah, they do a spectacular job.
Yeah, but at the same time, I'll find some, you know, here's Agnes's, you know, sugar cookie recipe from 1942 from, you know, St. Mark's Lutheran, and it's like, wow, this actually makes an insanely tasty cookie.
What I find is interesting when we talk about recipes, when you go, say, on the Pinterest and all the sites, often I think it's interesting, or you Google a recipe that you want to cook, you want to bake, whatever, and you'll notice that a lot of these bloggers, it's the same recipe. A lot of them aren't using the recipe, or they're using substitutions. So that's why people go, well, you can get every recipe online. You really can't, because when someone's taken the time to write a book, a lot more thought went in there than someone who took someone else's recipe and wants to write the damn story beforehand. You know, where you got to read the whole story about their daughter or their dog or their whatever tragedy or joyful experience that made them want to bake this. And then you get the recipe that's printed on two dozen other blogger sites.
So Grandpa survived the fall off the cliff. Now here's my tater tot hot dish. I'm like, geez, why are you doing this? Stop. I couldn't agree with you more. I don't need the backstory. I think you need to write something else, maybe a blog, but not rice recipes.
I am so sorry about your tumor, but let's move on.
I want to get into one of the things that I enjoy quite a bit, Great British Baking Show. And the reality is,
oh my God, I love it. I love that show.
They eat so much more gingerbread than we do. I was at the store this morning. I'm going through it. They have that pieced together, pre-made gingerbread house. And I already know that's going to be atrocious. But you get into a complicated thing here, because to make a gingerbread house, you do have to have some level of ability in the kitchen to be able to design and bake, you know, cut out and bake gingerbread in the shape of a house. I mean, is it in your mind, is it too difficult? If you want to do one that's actually going to be edible, you really have to do it yourself, right?
Yeah, and here's the whole thing as well, is that they actually make gingerbread house templates, where you make the dough and then you can cut out the pieces.
Okay.
And I'm all for that. Now, what I find is, if you look for a Swedish gingerbread, that will be the texture you're looking for, because it will be crisp. The problem is some gingerbreads are softer, and the house will collapse.
Okay. You said Swedish, right?
Yeah, it's like a Swedish. sweetest gingerbread is generally what they're using. Now, I have a thing about the British baking show.
Yeah.
Yes, they love ginger, but boy, are they obsessed with mango and passion fruit.
Oh, they do. And and cardamom. So what's with all the cardamom? They love
that. I think it's all about any country that you conquered and pillaged.
No,
you sure want to have the things that you took over the country for. So I think that mango and passion fruit, God bless colonialism, the British did perfect it.
They're wiping away their tears of their lost colonies as they make up the food.
But they are obsessed with mango and passion fruit.
They are. I love that show, and it does give you some great ideas as far as baking goes. But I guess that's the thing is that with the holidays, it has become as well. Not only do we talk about the sweetness sometimes, it's sometimes sensational. Now, if I want a display piece, Terry John Zeela, your baking is second to none. Let's make sure we mention your cake business here really quick. That if people are interested, they want to get something for the holidays, a cake from you, who do they get in touch with? How do they get in touch with you?
Well, if you just Google my name, Terry John Zeela, all the information comes up. If you want to, like, Jean Juan is my pastry division, and then Terry John Zeela Catering is like a savory division. And there are websites for both of those. But again, if you just Google me, all the information comes up. I'm very easy to find.
Well, with John,
thank God I don't have a prison record.
Don't search Matt McNeil. John Juan, the cakes. If you want a display piece, if you want something that's going to be really nice, you want to kind of talk to Terry. He'll get you something spectacular. But this idea of kind of this pure one. Kind of homestead, kind of Karen kind of mentality. I've got to make at home this five-layered cake sort of thing. I think sometimes the holidays, it's not about one-upping each other. I got a great recipe for just a simple cheesecake that you put some chocolate and you put some, you break up some candy canes and put it in there, and it's magnificent. And it's not over the top. Yeah, I still have to make a cheesecake, but it's relatively easy. I think that sometimes people have to walk away because, yes, the holidays gives you this impression that everything has to be to the nth degree.
Yeah, well, I think also, too, and I tell my clients this all the time, sometimes people get overwhelmed. And if I can't do a party for them, I'll say, don't be ashamed. There are good bakeries in town. Even like Costco has spectacular meats and some pre-made things. Don't think that you have to make everything from scratch, because when you're doing, a dinner buffet of 10, 15 things, for the home cook, most people aren't going to notice, and no one's going to call you out for it.
No, I would hope not. And
now, one thing, though, I will say, shrimp cocktail.
Okay.
Everyone likes shrimp cocktail.
Yes.
Please do not buy pre-cooked shrimp.
Okay.
I just hate it. For me, I do in a big pot with about probably maybe 2 cups of milk, a cup of lemon juice. I do a little crab boil, Old Bay seasoning, salt, pepper, a tablespoon of sugar. You bring that to a boil and you add it's a U21 to 24 shrimp. U means how many per pound. Tail on, for cripe's sakes, it's the best shrimp. And watch it. Don't overcook it. The minute they've curled, they are ready.
Well, you bring it up, and this is, you're right. There's a lot of people that do the pre-cooked shrimp. It's rubbery. It's not very good. It's the difference.
And also, it's watery.
Yeah, it is, actually. Yeah, it is. I mean, I grew up in Rhode Island. You know that. I grew up out by Point Judith mussels, and sometimes you'll find them pre-cooked, and they're just garbage. You got to find the fresh ones and cook them up. Or tell me one person that's ever gotten a TV dinner that said, wow, that was a good steak. No. Anytime you have a pre-cooked thing, it's not going to be good quality. And so 100%.
And also what I do with my shrimp cocktail is I boil them from frozen.
Okay.
And then just watch them. And people go, well, how do I know if they're done? Well, if you get a 2-pound bag of shrimp, you're going to have a lot of shrimp. Take one out and taste it. Cut it. I mean, that's how you know. And then also, too, obviously most people don't have a blast chiller. The minute those shrimp are out of the pot, strain them and either rinse them with cold water or put them on a rimmed baking sheet and then pop them in the freezer just to get that heat off of them so they don't keep cooking.
And that's important too. You definitely got to cool them down after you boil them, because if you don't, they'll like any meat, they'll just keep cooking.
Well, but also, and shrimp is so fussy.
Yeah,
it gets just like, I mean, it's amazing how it goes from really that kind of great little crunch to a little curl shape of rubber.
Once again, by the way, what's going to be the, do you know what the name of your new coffee shop is going to be?
It's going to be called Hepcat Coffee.
Hepcat Coffee.
We went and looked at the place. It's kind of like a 20s vibe, but they did the whole kind of a mid-century modern, even though it's a different era. And then my assistant, Tom, we'd gone and looked at the space, and then the next day he goes, we should do it. Mm-hmm. So, and he goes, how about Hepcat? And we're standing in my kitchen. I go to GoDaddy.com. I type in HepcatCoffee.com. Nobody owned it, and I bought it.
Nice. Hepcat Coffee is going to be a soft opening over the Winter Carnival. We'll have Terry on before that to talk about that. And, of course, they're opening for good starting on Monday, February 7th, Monday through Friday. That's going to be over in the Osborne 370 building, the old Ecolab building in downtown St. Paul. Terry, happy holidays. All my best, my friend.
Thank you so much for having me on again. I appreciate it.
Always, my friend. Always. Terry John Zeal, we'll take a break. Come on back. The Matt McNeil Show on AM 950.